part two. You're listening to another episode of Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 92, part 94, part 2. I haven't even smoked any weed yet, man. I love this tune.
94, part 2.
I love this fucking song, man. I don't know why.
You know what we should do is get in touch with Bob and say, hey, man, we'll host that song on our site with some of our songs, where you go, or maybe it's through iTunes. We can post them through iTunes or something. Make some money on that shit.
Yeah,
we can just
know.
Turn it all over to Bob and imbalance.
Well, I think I'm going to do some more t-shirts on the Cafe
Press.
And The Future is a Joke is going to be featured as, I think I'm going to come out with Meatototomy. I'm going to rip off Pauly B because he has Goopa Goopa.
Yeah.
So we're going to have Meatototomy,
Tetanus,
and The Future is a Joke. And I forgot to bring in the... Actually, maybe I could just get it right here. I forgot to bring in that message from... what's his name?
What is his name?
Yeah, you know, there's no link on our new site.
To what?
To the MySpace?
Yeah, there is.
Where?
Go to contact.
Contact info.
And then in the right, go down, and there's MySpace.
Ah, you're right. It's out of sight, Scott.
It's still evolving, our website, John.
No doubt.
So I'll move those things to the front page.
It's very nice.
Especially the MySpace. Maybe not the other ones. Who gives a shit about Podcast Alley? But maybe the other ones I'll move to the front page.
Anyways, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, check out MySpace because somebody posted a really funny YouTube video. Jacob posted a funny YouTube video on there. It's pretty goddamn funny.
Pretty goddamn funny, John.
Yeah. And where's that other part? There's like a thing for messages. Is that on here somewhere?
Messages?
Inbox. That's it.
Oh, you have to log in, right?
Yeah.
To get that shit. That's like private messages.
Yeah. This guy, Womb Raider. Womb Raider, sent us a message that says, hey, guys, we're not some random band. We are pioneering in the new movement of acoustic metal. We are huge fans of your show and would like to write a song entitled Tetanus. And we know Satan would be down with our shit. So why don't you ask him if it's all right? And then... we'll lay down a new track. By the way, which episode did Tetanus originally occur on? The rest of the band hasn't actually heard it, but it's been killing me since I first heard it.
That's a very interesting question,
yeah.
John.
So I think next week, is there any way to get a hold of Satan?
I'm sure there is. Yeah. I mean, I'll put my feelers out, John, so to speak.
Can God, like, reach him by Skype, maybe?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to get in touch with the W because he talks to God, and then he could tell God, he could give us God the message.
Yeah.
That we need to talk to Satan, pass it along.
Well, these guys, their band name is called Placenta.
Placenta.
Yeah. And they consider themselves death metal.
Acoustic death metal. It's out of sight, and it's interesting they asked for Satan's permission, but not for our permission.
Yeah.
Well, we got to do a couple of things. We got to get the original episode that Tatanus was on and replay that clip. And we got to get Satan's permission.
Yeah.
So maybe
we
next week.
Here's one of their songs. This song is called Vaginal Evisceration.
It's like speed metal.
Yeah. I really, I'm enjoying their vocal.
We turn to the void.
Give out their website there, Johnny.
It's MySpace.
Become what you want.
I don't know how to read it.
What do you mean you don't know how to read it?
Well, it's a profile, so wait.
There's a link at the top.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here it is.
Stupid ass.
It's www.myspace.com/placenta666.
There you go.
Placenta666.
Placenta666.
This other song is called Regis Fucking Philbin. It sounds like they got a trumpet or a...
Or a tetanus.
Or tetanus blowing. Very inventive. Anyway, some of their influences are Impaled, Northern Moon Forest, Anal Cunt, Mayhem, Grand Bella's Key, Dark Throne, Dying Fetus, Pig Destroyer, Troll Fest, Bathory, and Leviathan.
Well, if Satan does give his permission and they do write Tetanus, we'll have to open up the heavy metal episode with their version of Tetanus.
No doubt. I dig these guys. I think it. I checked them out at a Starbucks.
Oh, no doubt.
You know?
Or like a Borders.
No doubt. Oh, Borders.
Or Potbelly?
Potbelly,
right?
Yeah. No doubt.
That would be out of sight.
No doubt. Anyways, that's Placenta. Check them out.
All right, moving on to celebrity news. We talked about this last podcast and the podcast before.
Right.
Richard Gere gave this Indian woman, Shetty, a kiss in India. In India, John.
Richard Queer.
Hollywood star Richard Gere is a wanted man now. An Indian court has issued a warrant for his
no.
arrest. Following his recent public display of affection with Bollywood actress Shilpa Shetty. Gere and Shetty were speaking at a HIV/AIDS awareness event in New Delhi earlier this month when the Chicago actor swept the beauty into his arms and kissed her several times. Public displays of affection are taboo in India. And Gere's action results in crowds burning effigies of the 57-year-old actor.
He
looks good for 57,
The effigy, isn't that like... like way out there.
New Delhi judge Dinesh Gupta.
I thought we were going to do Limbaugh.
Dr. Gautam Gupta. Issued arrest warrants for both Gere and Shetty earlier Thursday after a citizen filed a complaint. So all you got to do is file a complaint in India and they'll arrest you. Get this. They're accused of committing an obscene act. Under Indian law, a conviction of public obscenity means a potential 3 months behind bars in an Indian jail, John. That's got to be for shit.
I know. Well, you know, I met this guy. His name was, I think his name was Bharat. It was.
Bharat?
It wasn't Borat. It was Bharat with like a R-H-A-T.
Uh-huh.
Indian guy. And he was helping me with a project. He was a consultant. And he was staying at a hotel, and then he'd fly home on the weekends.
To India?
No. He lived... he'd drive home on the weekends. He lived in Indiana. And he told me... We go to lunch one day, and he goes, "Oh, John, there's this..." I can't do a voice, man.
Oh, John, there's
John,
this...
there's this beautiful girl.
Beautiful girl. And you know what, John?
I told her I'd give her a $60 tip if she continued to serve me all night. So all night long, and this is the funny thing, I met him. I ran into him. I was at a conference for SAP in Vegas a couple years ago. And I run into this guy at one of the conferences. Hey, John, what's up, man? Hey, man, you got to go out with me tonight. We're going to a...
What is he, Mexican now?
A brothel. We went to see these strippers last night. Tonight we're going again, and they like to fuck. They fuck like crazy, and he's married and shit. So I determined from then on that Indian guys are the most horny fucks because obviously it's illegal to publicly display any sort of affection.
Right, and I'll get into some related news. Oh, no, it's not related. It is kind of related.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. There's another story I read. I don't have the doc, John, but 8 out of 10 Indian men have experienced homosexual love. And it's just because
really
of this type
penis
of oppression.
In my ass.
Now, in related news...
Can you put your penis in my ass?
Against bullshit kind of laws like this. Iranian police have warned barbers... Have you heard this?
No.
Barbers against offering Western-style haircuts or plucking the eyebrows of their male customers.
What?
Iranian media said on Sunday the report by a reformist daily, later confirmed by an Iranian news agency, appeared to be another sign of the authorities cracking down on clothing and other fashion deemed to be against Islamic values. All right, so...
Holy shit.
The unibrows are making a comeback in Iran, John. It came a week after police launched a crackdown against a growing number of young women testing the limits of the law with shorter, brighter, and skimpier clothing ahead of the summer months. Under Iran's Islamic Sharia law, imposed after the 1979 revolution, women are obliged to cover their hair and wear long, loose-fitting clothes to disguise their figures.
That's why pushing democracy won't work.
It won't work. Violators can receive lashes, fines, and imprisonment. Barbers who do not follow these rules might be closed down for a month or even lose their permits. You got to have a permit to be a barber in Iran.
Oh.
And, John, you hit it right on the head. Democracy is not going to flourish in this country. Before democracy, they have to let the...
there has to be a revolution.
There has to be worship of the pussy, the vajay. There has to be an openness with vagina in women in a country before it can be democracy.
That's a double entendre. Openness of the vagina. I like that.
The word is legs, John.
Spread the word. No doubt,
but
Scott.
It's the same shit with this Chow Sung Wee cocksucker who shot out
I think
V-Tech.
His name was Sung Wee Chow.
Sung Wee Chow, whatever the fuck. Who gives a shit? Guy's a bunch of dust. Anyway, it's the same damn thing. All he wanted was the vajay.
I didn't know faggot school had a day off.
All he wanted was vajay, and he couldn't get it, so he shoots people up. Now you take a whole culture, and you shun the vajay. You
and
shun the vajay.
They freak out.
They freak out, and they become idiots. Like Iran. It's unbelievable.
I think they're trying to control
population. And India's on the way there. India is on the way there. With this, you can't kiss in public.
That's amazing.
But India still gets it on behind closed doors, John.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Because
don't they have one of the highest populations per square inch?
Yeah, per
on the goddamn planet. In other celebrity news, John, Travolta upsets Maine locals with jet noise. John Travolta's high-flying passions have been slammed by residents of tiny Owl's Head, Maine, because his thunderous Gulfstream jet leaves them jarred as it flies overhead. The movie star regularly uses nearby Knox County because it's close to his home he owns, and the locals are upset he doesn't abide by the rules to cut down on noise pollution. And get this shit. The airport has a voluntary curfew, according to me, whereby pilots are asked not to take off or land between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. But pilots have abided by that, which with one exception. Guess who it is? Travolta, the cocksucker. He has the loudest aircraft that we see here, and he comes and goes whenever he fucking pleases.
Well, it's voluntary, right?
It is voluntary, but Jesus Christ, Mr. John Travolta.
No, Jesus Zenu.
Jesus Zenu.
Jesus Cruz.
Tom Jesus Cruz.
He's a Scientologist, just like the TC.
Fucking A, man. And, hey, I got a jet, so fuck you. I don't care if there's little old ladies and retired people in this community. I'm going to rumble your windows after 10 p.m. because I'm John Travolta. And I'm so goddamn important, I need to get somewhere after 10 p.m.
Bob, 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 Barino.
And if it wasn't for Quentin Tarantino, this guy would be doing what is that shit movie he did with the talking babies? What was that called?
Look Who's Talking Anyway.
Yeah, it'd be Look Who's Talking 13 with John Travolta. Straight to DVD.
Hey, Mr. Carter, I'm an idiot. Duh. And Bob Barino, Bob, 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 Bob Barino.
All right, now this last celebrity
news. How about
that
show? You remember that Welcome Back, Cotter?
That was a great show, man.
Yeah, but
I love
they were
that
all
show.
Like 30 years old playing high school kids.
Well, that's because they were so dumb, John. They failed like 10 years in a row.
Oh, Mr. Cotter! Yes, Horshack.
All right, so get this, man.
Yeah.
This last celebrity news, it didn't mean anything to me until I read the very last line, and I couldn't believe it. But get this shit. Dion, John.
Dion Sanders?
Celine Dion made TV history in America last night when she performed live with Elvis Presley.
Oh, yeah.
Technology enabled the Canadian to appear to sing alongside Presley on stage at the Kodak Theater in Hollywood during an American Idol Gives Back charity special. The late rocker appeared in hologram form.
Yeah.
For the breathtaking duet of If I Can Dream with Dion. Now get this. Leaving many of the audience members stunned. And convinced they were seeing a ghost.
No. Yeah. I saw that. That was really cool.
And you thought it was the ghost of Elvis?
Come on.
You thought he came back to perform with Celine Dion?
No, but it was really cool.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Yeah, but can you talk into your bottle some more?
Yeah.
There, Darth Vader. I'll Google that.
I'll give you that, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, are you done? Or you got
I'm
more?
Done. I'm done with celebrity
I got one.
News.
I got a celebrity.
John's got a celebrity.
Celebrity.
Ah, I forgot to start my stopwatch.
Celebrity.
God damn it.
Here, I'm going to play you a song, Scott.
It's
a new song. Just came out. If I could find it. Here it is. Here's the new song.
Here we go. This is Paul Shanklin as Al Sharpton.
Shanklin.
Barack Obama.
Barack the Magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they call him that, cause he's not authentic like me. And the guy from the L.A. paper said he made guilty whites feel good. They'll vote for him and not for me, cause he's not from the hood. See real black men like Snoop Dogg.
Real black men. Anyway.
Well, Snoop Dogg is the epitome of the real black man, in my opinion.
Commentator Earl Ofari Hutchinson writes today, both at his own blog and at the liberal Huffington Post, that the Magic Negro song and video that conservative radio talker Rush Limbaugh has been playing is crass, tasteless, and race-tinged, but it's accurate. This guy's a black guy, by the way. Meanwhile, Diversity Inc.'s today featured today's feature story asks...
I can't read, man.
I can't read. Meanwhile, Diversity Inc.'s today's feature story asks whether...
After all these years of
Whether Limbaugh should be held accountable for the parody, as radio host Don Imus was for his racially charged comment about the Rutgers University women's basketball team.
Here's the difference, John. Rush probably makes some money. I'm sorry. Yeah, Rush. Probably makes some money. Imus did not. Yeah. So they had an excuse to get rid of Imus. I'm sorry for stepping on you.
No. That's fine. Anyway, Democratic presidential candidate Senator Barack Obama also is running for an equally important unelected office in the province of the popular imagination, the Magic Negro. That is, Ehrenstein said, the person who can assuage white guilt, i.e. the minimal discomfort they feel over the role of slavery and racial segregation in American history. Limbaugh took off from that, using a white parodist singing as Al Sharpton to the tune of Puff the Magic Dragon. Today, Hutchinson, who is black, writes that Obama can't be blamed for being, at least for the moment, a fantasy candidate for the white liberals, yet he is. Limbaugh, Hutchinson says, has one thing right. Obama is a race conscious slaver. Salver. Well, it's a salver.
Salver.
Is that right?
No. I don't know. Who knows? Who wrote it?
I say race conscience slaver. Anyway.
Slaver?
Yeah.
Can I make a prediction, John?
Yeah.
Here in 94 Part 2, I predict that the ticket will be Clinton Obama, 2008.
Really?
Yes.
You think he'll go for VP?
Yep.
Wow. Anyways, Rush was playing like all these clips of Obama talking street to like the Rainbow Coalition and stuff like that. And what's humming down here? What's humming down here? Is that somebody's BlackBerry? Sharpton, is that your BlackBerry? That's your BlackBerry?
That's your Obama.
I think
impression?
That's Hillary calling. Yeah, it's exactly right on, my friend.
Can we get the audio of that?
I don't know. It's around somewhere.
Because, you know, when he talks normally, he talks very normally.
Succinct.
Succinct and not Wigger-like, John.
Yeah.
Wigger-like.
But it's kind of like Bush talking all Texas.
Yeah, Texas.
But he's not from Texas.
Because the guy was brought up in New England, went to the best money schools could buy, or backwards. And now he talks like a fucking hick.
But anyways, what I'm trying to get at here is as Rush is nowhere near what Don Imus did. Don Imus came out and said they're a bunch of nappy-headed hoes. In this instance, he has a guy parodying Al Sharpton, saying that Obama is pretending to be black when he's African-American.
African American.
Yeah, and Rush is actually, in some sense, correct on that one, I think.
I think so, too. If the audio vets and is appropriate, your imitation was appropriate? Yes, I agree.
Well, you said stuff like befo.
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 An X. Let me ask you a question.
I don't think he said that, but.
Maybe he will. Maybe the next time.
Will. But some black voters, I believe, or Americans, are upset that he talks like that, and then he talks what they think is white when he's appealing to the white voter.
Well, celebrities do the same goddamn
thing. Yeah, don't
thing.
They? Doesn't everybody, though?
I don't.
At some point. Yeah, you do. I've seen you.
Okay.
Tell me when you're doing the shoot the hoop thing.
Shoot the hoop
the
thing.
The 3-on-3.
I talk like
you're
a white guy.
You're not talking smack.
I talk smack, but it's like a white guy. Like a white guy.
Oh, but give me
Let
an
me
example.
Give you an example.
Give me an example.
Hey, brother, did you bring your camera?
Whatever.
Because you can take pictures of my bottom of my feet when I jam it over your afro head.
Yeah,
brother.
That's what you say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I say. That's right.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're going, Yo, check this out.
No.
White
I'm
man
no
can't
wigger.
Jump. Watch this.
I'm no wigger.
Motherfucker. Hell no. You lying
no,
ass.
I'm not lying.
Hell no.
It's a bunch of crap.
But that's the other thing I can't stand is the whole, if you're not talking Ebonics, then you're not black. What's that?
Well, it's, I think it's part of the black culture. Part of that black
culture.
What
black culture? The American black
American
culture.
American black culture shuns.
Remember
some of that
minute,
population shuns education.
I was just talking about this today. Well, remember when we were in Amsterdam?
Yes.
We're on our way to the ghetto.
The ghetto.
And this woman comes on, I think, with her kids, and she's got a Dutch accent. And you think she's going to be all street, right?
Right.
And then she starts talking to her kids, and it's all Dutch. And I'm like, whoa, that's kind of weird. That's kind of a shock.
Yeah.
And then you hear a black person who's talking, who lives in the UK, who's been brought up there. And they speak proper English. Not right. What we're talking right now.
Right. That's right.
So that's all that black culture.
It's a black American culture. Black American culture. There's a part of that population that shuns education.
Snoop Dogg.
If you're educated, you get ostracized because you're trying to be like the white man.
Yeah. Which is bullshit.
Which is bullshit. Look at the W.
You do what?
Is he? He's a white man. He's the most uneducated goddamn person on the goddamn planet.
No doubt.
Stupid ass.
Yeah, that is stupid. That's a stupid ass kind of. I don't know. I don't know what to think of that.
Think of what?
Well, that crap, that uneducated, if you're trying to get an education, you're trying to be like the white man. There's so many uneducated white people.
Yeah, there are, aren't there?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Holy shit, we talk about them every week.
Every damn day we talk about them, John. You phone me up and you say, hey, how about this uneducated white person?
Listen to the Matt Dahl show.
You ready for science news, John?
Yeah, no doubt.
Christopher Hitchens. You familiar with Christopher Hitchens?
Oh, yeah.
So we've talked about him before.
The guy talks so fucking much.
He talks a lot, and he's a contributor to Slate.com. And every time I try to read Christopher Hitchens, I can't get through the first goddamn paragraph.
I get lost.
Let me give you an example. Oh, anyway, he came out with this book. He's got a new book. It's called God Is Not Great. How Religion Poisons Everything. That's his new book.
Well, that's great, but he's a big Bush apologist.
So they got excerpts of the book. And just to give you an example how I read the first paragraph and I'm completely turned off because I can't follow the goddamn thing. It's like he has the thesaurus turned on.
I know.
When he writes this shit.
It's
cranked up a notch. Get this shit. There are four irreducible objections to religious faith. That it wholly misrepresents the origins of man and the cosmos. That because of this original error, it manages to combine the maximum of servility with the maximum of solipsism. That it is both the result and the cause of dangerous sexual repression, and it is ultimately grounded on wish thinking. What the fuck does that mean? I understood sexual repression. That was it. I do not think it is arrogant of me to claim that I had already discovered these four objections before my boyish voice had broken. Oh, what a genius. So when he did discover it, did he discover it in this fucking language? Because I can't understand him. We do not believe in heaven or hell, yet no statistic will ever find that without these blandishments and threats... We commit more crimes of greed or violence than the faithful. I think I know what he means by that.
Yeah, but...
Can't you just talk like a normal goddamn person?
Why is he gonna be so fucking verbose?
Verbose, John. That's a good word. Verbose.
Thank you. I'm trying to be like Chris Hitchens.
All right, now I did get in...
I like some of his stuff, but he's such just a pompous ass.
Well, get this shit, man. Get this. I did find this nugget of wisdom in his... verboseness. Here's what he says, John. God did not create man in his own image. Evidently, it was the other way about. What happened to around? Why not say around?
About.
What is about? Which is the about? Painless explanation for the profusion of gods and religions and the fracticide both between and among faiths that we see all about us and that has so retarded the development of civilization. Now, those are some strong words.
No doubt.
That's a bold statement,
Why not just say man-made God?
Right.
That's it. Let's be a little more succinct.
The mildest criticism of religion is also the most radical and the most devastating. Religion is man-made. There he goes. He gets to it in the second paragraph. Even the men who made it cannot agree on their prophets or redeemers or gurus, what they actually said or did. Still less can they hope to tell us the meaning of later discoveries and developments, which were, when they began, either obstructed by their religious or denounced by them. And yet the believers still claim to know. Not just to know, but to know everything. Not just to know that God exists, that he created to supervise the whole enterprise, but also to know what he demands from us, from our diet, to our observances, to our sexual morality. In other words, in a vast and complicated discussion where we know more and more about less and less, yet can still hope for some enlightenment as we proceed. One fraction itself, composed of mutually warring factions, has the sheer arrogance to tell us that we already have all the essential information we need. Such stupidity combined with such pride should be enough on its own to exclude belief from the debate. The person who is certain and who claims divine warrant for his certainty belongs now to the infancy of our species. So if you can make your way through all the fucking gibberish of that, what he's saying is, how dare somebody know goddamn everything and to tell me that he knows everything. And what he's saying is there's no exchange of ideas. They're right, you're wrong, so get with the program or fuck off.
There you go, Scott. And your next thesis, which could sum up his book in a more succinct manner.
Succinctly. I could call it Christopher Hitchens, succinctly.
Succinctly.
Minus the verboseness.
Because the verbiage he uses is just way too...
It's way too...
Flowerful.
Yeah, what the hell? I can't even... You got to read the thing. This has got to be one of the hardest reads in the history of books, John. But his last line...
I mean, when I want to just smell a rose, I go up to it. I don't need to smell the whole garden.
Nice. Nicely put.
Thank you.
The person who is certain and who claims divine warrant for his certainty belongs now to the infancy of our species. That's nice. I like that. I like that last line. I'd like to say this.
What's your fucking point?
I would be quite content to go to their children's bar mitzvahs, to marvel at their Catholic cathedrals, to respect their belief that the Quran was dictated, though exclusively in Arabic, to an illiterate merchant, or to interest myself in Wicca, in Hindu, in Jain constellations. As it happens, I will continue to do this without insisting on the polite reciprocal condition, which is that
Jainism.
They, in turn, leave me the fuck alone.
There you go.
But this religion is ultimately incapable of doing. As I write these words, and as you read them, people of faith are in their different ways planning your and my destruction.
Right. No doubt.
Destruction of all the hard-won human attainments that I have touched upon. Religion poisons everything.
And last night, I was at dinner. And with the family, we closed the restaurant. We know the owners of the restaurant. And somehow we got into religion because her husband was going to a Saturday night mass and she was going to the Sunday mass. And she said, you know, maybe you should come with. I said, for what? You know, I'm going to start praying for you. My mission... is going to be to save you. I go, save me from what? You need saving. It's going to be my mission. So today we're talking about it at lunch over at Moretti's. And
same people?
No, it was family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was explaining to my wife's brother that this went down. And, a rave. Time for the rave. You never know when that's going to come up from now on. It's going to be rave music. So anyways, we're talking, and her one brother who kind of sees eye to eye with me, he's kind of an atheist. He's had an experiment go up in the shuttle. He has actual peer-reviewed documentation in some journal of an experiment that he set up in the shuttle.
Wow. From, it's out of sight.
Yeah.
When's he going to be a guest?
Hey, that's a good idea. I'll have to ask him. Anyway, so and he, the guy is smart as a whip. We play the Trivial Pursuit or Cranium. That's the game. Fucking guy knows every species of butterfly.
That's
knows
important.
Every species of flower. I don't know. All the shit. Anyway, I digress. So the wife says, oh, she was just kidding. I said, no,
about
honey,
saving you.
They don't kid. People who are heavily religious don't kid.
Especially about saving
people.
Or maybe she was. Maybe she's went out to lunch with somebody and said, yeah, this fucking guy yesterday.
This fat ass.
I told him I was going to save him. But there's no saving him.
No saving. He's
yeah, I was just
up.
Kidding around.
He's
there's
a
no
spawn
way
of Satan.
He's going to come to Christ like us.
I've been told I was the spawn of Satan by a born-again Christian.
Wow. I've never been told that.
Me, no doubt.
I've had people think that I was Satan because I didn't believe in the Christ. But nobody ever told me I was the spawn of Satan. That's out of sight.
I started joking about it, too, at lunch today. You think, because the other brother's alternative partner was talking about, we were talking about going to Amsterdam, Germany. Cologne, Germany. We visited this cathedral there by the Rhine River.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yeah, we were there. Oh, man. It's so cool. Actually, we got to go there this one time. It's like the 11th of November at 11:11 p.m. And everybody who is your friends, like, all dress up the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's say me, you, and Rick, we dressed up as Easter bunnies.
Right.
That way we'd be able to find each other
right.
in the crowd.
I see.
And other friends dress up as Santa Claus. And then it's a very liberal. There's a lot of gay people that live there.
Oh, let's make it
date, John. So they go to this. Well, you know, I mean, it's like Mardi Gras or anything like that. So anyways, they go to this cathedral, and he's talking about how, oh, yeah, the wise men's bones are buried there. Me and the other brothers start cracking up. And he goes, you guys are assholes. I'm like, you're gay. Christians hate you. Why would you even identify with them?
I don't know.
Yeah,
oh, you're talking to
not you.
Guy. Right, okay.
Yeah.
One last
you're
quote.
Gay, Scott.
One last quote from the book is from David Hume. Do you know who David Hume is, John? Philosopher.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he asked this question.
David Hume, didn't he do the whole thing with the melting
of the butter? No, that was Descartes.
Ah, sorry. Okay.
Descartes. Which is more likely, that a man should be used as a transmitter by God to deliver some already existing revelations, or that he should utter some already existing revelations and believe himself to be, or claim to be, ordered by God to do so?
Yeah.
Which do you think, John?
Neither.
I think the latter. Neither.
You think the latter?
I think the latter.
That he's the transmitter?
No, that he's not the transmitter, that he's just saying these things, and that he's claims that he's ordered by God to do so.
Oh, obviously.
Obviously. Obviously the latter.
The only proof that any God-fearing religious person espouses to is nature.
Nature.
Just look at the trees, man. That's all the proof you need.
Right.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Smoke another weed.
And our last science story, John, one of our recent guests, well, no, it's maybe over a year ago, Stephen Hawking was on our program.
Oh, yeah. I saw him flying around in space.
Astrophysicist Stephen Hawking.
We should have had him on.
Has studied black holes, exploding stars, the origin of universe, and Uranus.
Black hole, son, won't you come?
But the renowned Cambridge professor has now taken a bold step of his own by breaking free from the restrictions of his paralyzed body and experienced the weightlessness of space on a zero-gravity trip over the Atlantic. Tetanus. So maybe we can get Stephen Hawking back in to tell us about that.
Yeah, that would be great.
90-minute adventure aboard a converted airliner nicknamed the Vomit Comet.
I always wanted to travel in space.
Did you see him tossing them around?
No, I did not.
It might be on YouTube, but there was video. I watched it on the news. They're like throwing them around. And he was totally digging it, man. Well, he doesn't really do anything but smile.
Right.
Or nothing.
Nothing.
And he was giddy as a fucking 10-year-old schoolgirl. He was flying around. He had this huge smile on his face. And everybody was like, you know, throwing him. They were like playing catch with him.
I'm a little concerned about your 10-year-old schoolgirl reference.
Why?
I don't know.
Giddy's a 10-year-old schoolgirl. What's wrong with that?
I've never heard that
Not
before.
A care in the world, my friend.
Until you pull up, right?
Oh, come on.
Can you help my find my puppy?
Oh, fuck. Dude.
Professor
Hawking. What's wrong with that?
Best-selling book, A Brief History of Time, popularized the theory of quantum gravity and enlightened the masses about some of the mysteries of the universe. Still no explanation for Uranus, John.
Not mine?
Not yours. No. How much time do we have there, Johnny?
Oh, we got none.
None. All right, let's take it to part three.
We're at 41, my 41? Friend.
41?
What's your stopwatch doing?
I forgot to set it.
All right, we'll be right back.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for
part three. Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.